Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we will conclude a message today I've entitled A Better Covenant, and we've been looking upon the historical and cultural aspects of establishing a covenant that were enacted in the Old Testament to help us understand how sincere, how binding, how solemn an agreement it was between two individuals. And when God chose to speak to Abraham and say, I'm going to establish my covenant with you, he was using the language, the terminology of the day to indicate how important and how solemn and how serious and how binding it was. Because Abraham asked, he said, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit all these promises? So God said, okay, I will show you. And he demonstrated by having him sacrifice animals, and then in the darkness of night, God came as a burning lamp, as a pillar of fire, walking between the sacrifices, which of course were a part of establishing a covenant. And so we see that the first step was an exchange of robes, an exchange of belts, animal sacrifice, the exchange of blood, the exchange of names. Remember, Abram's name was changed. And the sixth step was, of course, the scars that were always permanent reminders of that covenant. The seventh was the giving of the terms of the covenant. Whatever assets I have are yours, whatever liabilities I have are yours, and vice versa. There was a covenant meal and then a planting of a memorial. So today we are now looking at the covenant benefits, which are that of protection and that of prosperity. Praise God. What about protection? Well, God revealed himself to Moses as I am that I am. And he had referred to himself as El Shaddai, the God who is, or is more than enough to meet every need. And to Abraham in Genesis 15:1, he says, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. When God is your shield, you don't have to worry about the arrows of the enemy, natural or spiritual. Amen. And in effect, when basically we are being tempted or tested with fear, we can hear the Lord say, I am your shield. When we're fearful, when we need protection, I am your shield. That's what God is telling us, because he's made a covenant with us through the shed blood of Jesus. So, brother and sister, if the devil comes against you, as long as you're following Jesus, he's got to deal with Jesus first. If Jesus headed one way and you another, then those fiery darts won't bounce off the shield of faith. What is God's armor for us? It's the shield of faith, as described in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 16. And of course, while God is faithful, he's a faithful God, he will fulfill his covenant promises to Israel. But the church, the Gentiles today, are also spiritual Israel. And so the promises are just not to the Jews, but also to us. There are some specific promises, of course, directly to the Jews, but we all are children of Abraham, the Bible tells us. Numbers 23:23 declares, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. And I'd like to share just a little bit of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, but that word Jacob and Israel, those are covenant names. In fact, Balaam, after he three times did nothing but bless Israel through the word of the Lord, because he told Balak, I can only speak what God tells me to speak. And then when Balaam finally registered that God was not going to curse Israel. It says in chapter 24, he set his face toward the wilderness, and he literally had a vision of God. It said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. And this is really describing God's people in the future. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of ling aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as the cedar trees besides the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He's brought us all out of Egypt, if you will, the land of sin and bondage, and he hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. So these are, so Balaam, who, you know, was used of God, even though he had really a lot of issues himself, what the word of the Lord is telling us is that no divination can prevail against us. There's nothing that the enemy can do that is really going to prosper. No sorcery. Divination is basically, in sorcery, sum up all the wicked spiritual weapons, including curses or jinxes or spells and so on. No one can place a curse upon us if we know our covenant rights in this area. A curse causeless shall not come. We are simply blessed and cannot be cursed. And then we not only have divine protection, he is our shield, our exceeding great reward, but we have prosperity. In Psalm 35 and 27, the word of the Lord declares, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. One of God's covenant names is El Elyon, the creator and possessor of heaven and earth. This is my Father's world, amen? The devil doesn't own this. Well, he's been he's been a tenant for some millennia, but God is going to oust him out. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, Psalm 50 and 10 says, and all the silver and gold is his, Haggai reminds us in the second chapter, verse 8. So how can God give his children poverty? God suffers no lack, and in heaven there certainly is no poverty. Poverty is a curse. In Eden, in the beginning, they had every need and want satisfied. And so it is God's will for us as his children to have our needs met. Jesus said, your Father in heaven knows the things that you stand in need of. He said, look at the lilies of the field. Look how God clothes them. The birds of the air, they don't suffer lack. God takes care of them. And why should we be afraid? Hallelujah. His eye is on the sparrow. Is that not true? Amen. Praise God. And so let me share with you Galatians, the third chapter. Let me turn to that. And we'll see how God is desiring to bless his people. Let me turn over quickly to that third chapter. Praise God. The third chapter, and I want to read verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Father through faith. Praise God. So, beloved, if we want prosperity, we must return to God with our whole heart. And that's why I've shared this, how serious, how significant, how important the very act of establishing a covenant with someone else was in terms of Old Testament setting. And when God chose to do that with Abraham under the old covenant with the Jewish people, and as he did it with Jesus under the new covenant that was he established in his shed blood, that God is saying, I'm holding nothing back. Everything I have is yours. Isn't that true? We're joint heirs with heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so how much more should we desire to give him everything that we are and can possibly be, all that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. Amen. And his desire is for all of you. We can't cling to the old life and serve God with a divided heart. Our affections can't be set on the things of this world. Our will should be set to follow the Lord, not our own way. Our hearts aren't single because our eye isn't single. And that's why it's important we look and feast our gaze upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who went through all that he suffered for us so we could have not only eternal life and fellowship with him, but that in this natural life, we will know the joy of fellowship as well as his divine protection and his divine blessings of prosperity spiritually, physically, materially, circumstantially. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, For ye know of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Beloved, we need to search our hearts. Has your heart departed from the living God? If so, return to him. He has pledged himself, not just his gifts, to us. He has promised to prosper all that our hand touches. And in closing, let me read just a few verses of the first Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. All praise, glory, and honor be to our soon coming King. Praise God. Well, it's been a blessing and joy to minister to you these truths to you on the establishing of a covenant that we have now, a better covenant through Jesus. I love you. I invite you to write the announcer, give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.